What a wonderful, wonderful day that will be to live with him forever in glory by and by. As we come together on this evening, continuing to give God thanks for all that he has done for us, it is truly, truly a wonderful thing to be able to come together to worship God and to be able to be with those that are under the mindset to come together to worship him, because it is what is pleasing to him. Going back, if you have not left there, Psalm 119. Starting with verse 9, Psalm 119. Starting with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. You know, once we look at something, and as we look at it, we absorb what's there and we place it in our minds, and when is the appropriate time comes, it comes back and it allows us to reflect back on what we had seen in the very beginning, and we can see it just as it was, even though it's not there. I believe that we have all met that person where we've spent time with them over and over again. And we can recall a conversation that we had with that person 50, 60 years ago. Some have to stop at 50. Some can go on to 60 and go plus. And some can't even get to 50 yet because they haven't even reached the age of 10. But we can remember those conversations that we have had. And we say, it was just like yesterday, I remember. I want to ask you all that have put Christ on, can you remember that day when you put Christ on through baptism? Can you remember the feeling that you had, the excitement that you had as we read about the eunuch going away rejoicing that he had put Christ on? Can you remember that day like it was yesterday? I know some have to go further back than others. But can you recall that? I believe that when we look at God's word, and he says there in verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I might not sin against you. That you are reflecting on the word of God and you realize all that God has told you to do. and you're willing to do those things because you know right from wrong. You understand good and you understand evil. You understand what it means to be righteous and you understand what it means to be unrighteous. Look at the title again. Thy word I have hid in my heart. See, some of you, you may recall hearing this sermon back in 2015. That was a long time ago. Maybe 2014. Maybe I can't remember. But the word hasn't changed. There is no way possible that we would dedicate our lives to a way knowing that way is going to change time and time again. This is it. This is what we have before us. We have God's Word, and we can recall His Word and know that when we recall it, that it has not changed, and we need to continue to live by it. That's the good thing about His Word. It's not going to change. See, if I write something down and I say, this is what I want you to do, and you take that and you look at it and you commit it to memory and you begin to do those things, and I come back in and say, that's not what I want you to do. You say, but that's what I wrote down. Let me see the paper. You give me the paper, and I take that paper and I say, well, I've changed my mind. I'm throwing it away. I need you to do it a different way. That's not our God. Our God has given us instruction, and we need to follow that instruction by the letter. God's Word informs us. See, there's a lot of people that have not been informed. And the reason they have not been informed is because they don't want to be informed. You try to tell them something in reference to God's Word and they close their ears. They just don't want to hear what is being said. Well, that's the way God's people were. They didn't have to close their ears. God said, I'll close your ears for you that you cannot hear. Your understanding, I will close it that you cannot understand what is there. But His Word informs us. And the only way today that we cannot understand it is that we try very, 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 very hard not to understand it. Because of what the Bible says, John chapter 8, verse 32. You can know the truth and the truth will make you free. So His Word informs us. In 1 John chapter 3, and the verse is 4. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse is 4. Now we look at the things that the world does. And yesterday in class, we were looking at the book of Revelation chapter 21. And the verse is 9 or verse is 8 there. And we were looking at those different sins. How he says, if you commit these sins, you will be cast into the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death. And I asked an individual and I say, now who commits these things right here? And he said, everybody commit them. I said, whoa, we need to back up. We need to go back and look at it and we need to understand, because if everybody is committing these sins right here, that means nobody's going to be able to get into heaven. We need to look at it. So God's Word informs us. It informs us about sin. There in 1 John 3 and the verses 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is what separates us away from God. And we need to understand that. And as we understand it, we need to know that God does not hear our prayers when we're in sin. Again, the practice of sin. What exactly is the practice of sin? I stumble, but I don't fall. You know what that means? That means that I've got my balance. I've regrouped, and now I'm standing the way I need to stand. I'm doing the things that I need to do. Oh, you may make a mistake from time to time, but you don't wallow in that mistake. David, he slipped with Bathsheba, but he didn't slide. Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. Well, he did not. What that means is David did not make it a practice to sin. He didn't dwell in those sins. He realized that when it was pointed out to him and that he had sinned, that he needed to get it right, and he did exactly that. But we have those individuals that practice sin. And you know, those that have been in in the band, those that have played football, those that have ran track or baseball or whatever you have done in this life, in order to perfect whatever you have done, you put forth some effort. You practice those things. So, you know what we have out here in this world today? We have some people that are very good at sin. Why? Because they have practiced sin. They have begun to love sin, and they have looked at their lives, and they have been satisfied with what they're doing. Well, I want you to understand on this afternoon that if that's the case, you're away from God. Isaiah, as he talks to the children of Israel, he tells them there in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." Your iniquities, no one else's. So what is Isaiah doing with the children of Israel? He's informing them about sin. It separates you away from God. And we can understand that when a man makes a mistake and he corrects that mistake, that he really didn't mean to do what he did, and he might have not really meant, or he might have really not known what he was doing. But when he was pointed out, he got those things right. How many of us are willing to do that? Well, when sin is pointed out in our lives because we have actually made it a practice to sin. You've done it on today. You did it on yesterday. You did it a week ago. You're no longer making a mistake. You're making it a practice to do what you're doing. 1 + 1 = 2. But you always write 3 down. And when it comes down to taking a test, and that answer, that question is on there, 1 + 1, and since you have made it a practice to always say that is 3, you put 3 down. Not by a mistake. You put 3 down because that's what you've been practicing. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get it wrong. You are not going to get the answer right. So we have to look at what the Bible says reference to our sins. What does it do for us? It separates us away from God. And none of us want to be separated from the one that loves us. None of us want to be separated from the one that can feed us, that can clothe us, that can give us water, that can give us shelter. No one want to be separated away from that person. So why practice sin? Let it be known that those that practice sin, God is displeased with them. God's word warns us. Stop! What? Warning, stop. Don't go over there. Why? Because something is going to get you over there. I'm just letting you know. Oh, I'm bad. I'm not worried about anything. And you go ahead and go. And guess what happens? Something gets you. Can't say that you have not been warned. What comes to mind is, I should have listened. I should have heeded the warning sign. I should have listened to that voice that told me to stop. But yet, no, I'm grown. I do what I want to do. That's the wrong answer. Even as grown folks, we need somebody to warn us from time to time. And when the warning comes from God's word, we need to look at it. And we need to say, thank you. I needed that. I remember telling my brother years ago about going out to the club and doing this and doing that. And he said, man, he said, I really don't want to hear it. If I don't hear it, I'm not accountable for it. Oh, yes, you are. It doesn't matter whether or not you want to listen to God's word or not. The truth is not going to change just because you did not know the truth. Again, 1 + 1. If you don't know the answer is still 2. So we have to look at what God's word says, and we have to heed the warnings. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and the verses 23. Why do we need to listen to the warnings? We need to listen to the warnings because the warnings tell us whether or not things are going to happen that's right or whether or not things are going to happen that's good. It all depends upon us if we look at the warnings and we heed the warnings. For Paul, as he writes to the church of Rome, he says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift. He didn't say that about sin, did he? He didn't say that it was a free gift. He said, no, the wages of sin is death. Well, how do we gain wages? We have to work for them. We have to work for wages. What is Paul saying? Is Paul saying that there's a lot of people that's working their way to separate away from God? Yes. What is Paul saying? Is Paul saying that there's a lot of people working their way to hell? Yes. The wages of sin is death. But, you know, we love it when somebody talks to us from time to time and there's a but to it. And then there's those times where we don't want to hear that but. But this but right here will cause you to do what's right, hopefully. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you know what we still have to do? We still have some work to do. We have a lot of work to do. And we need to do the work because God is pleased with the work that we do. Those people, going back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. You know, have we not done many wonderful works? They was working. But you know, there was something that was missing. Instead of doing exactly what God wanted them to do, everything that God wanted them to do, they was not only doing many marvelous works, but they were doing some works that was going to cause them and did cause them to be separated away from God. Because what does Jesus say there in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 7? Depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. You get away from me. I don't know you. So I believe that we need to listen to the warnings and do exactly what God wants us to do. In Romans chapter 8, and the verse is 13. Romans chapter 8 and the verse is 13. In verse 12 he says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You know, we want to do things to this body in order for us to live. But when he talks about living according to the flesh, it's the desires that separate us away from God that he's warning us against. Those sins out there in the world, he's warning the children, the Church of Rome right there about them. And we need to listen to these warnings that was given to the Church of Rome, because it still holds true. For verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Again, look at what he is saying there. He's not telling you that you can't live. You have to live. You have to do the things that are right. You have to put the things in your body that are pleasing to God. You have to practice the things that God is pleased with. But to live according to the flesh, to fulfill the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You know, we have to consider that. When we say the desires of the flesh, when we look at it and we say, you know, I believe that God would overlook me if I do these things. He want me, you know how the old saying goes, he want me to be happy. He wants you to be happy doing what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. Let's look at it and understand that God is going to require our souls of us one day. We're going to have to die. But when we die, because that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. When you experience death and you're not separated away from God, everything is okay. You can look forward to spending your eternity with him in heaven, but if everything is not okay, because you were happy doing all the things that you were doing, but now you have to suffer the consequences. So let's understand once again that there are warnings out there and we need to look at them. God's word devotes us. His word is what we need to look at. You've seen that butterfly and all those things right there. That butterfly came from a caterpillar. It was transformed. So we have to understand that as we think about God's word devoting us, his word transforms us into being the person that we need to be. Not the person that we used to be, but being the person that he wants us to be. So I ask you, who are you? Who are you? Are you the person that God wants you to be? Or are you your own person? I'm grown. Yeah, we all can say that. But you know, we have a Father that cares for us. And being grown doesn't mean that we can ignore his word. His word devotes us. There in the book of Job, chapter 13. Job chapter 13. And the verse is 15. We need to look at his word intently. We need to look at it and we need to say there's a change that needs to be made. And as I make this change, it's going to be according to his will, not mine. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Yet I will argue my ways to his face. This will be my salvation, that the godless shall not come before him. So again, his word is what devotes us. The things in which we encounter in this world, it should change us. If something good is happening and you've been living a rough life, it should cause you to say, it's all because of God. It's all because of what he has done that I am going to change because of these good things. We should all have said that this morning when we woke up. When we realized that it was a new day and that we had an opportunity to get our lives right, we should have said, I am going to devote my time to God. He's my creator. He's the one that woke me up this morning. He's the one that gave me the activity of my limbs. He's the one that allowed me to be in my right mind. His word devotes us. We have to get in line with his word. We have to know, again, if you go back to Psalm 119. You go back to Psalm 119 and you look there as we were reading, thinking about, you know, hiding his word in our hearts that we may not sin against him. You read further on down there, and you got to go a little ways now. You look there in Psalm 119, and the verse is 105. He said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's your word. And so therefore, when you have that light, it draws you closer. You're in the desert, and you look out in the distance, and you see a light, and you're lost, but you see that light. Well, what do you do? Do you say, get that light, and go the opposite direction? No, you don't. You walk toward that light. Well, we've had men that when we went to the desert and we did training, we've had men to get off of their vehicle and walk 15 feet and are lost because that vehicle has no light on it. But they see a light in the distance and they began to walk toward that light. And finally, they meet up with that light, and before long, they have walked 10, 15, 20 miles away from the place where they're supposed to be. Sometimes, you know, we need to walk away from darkness toward that light to get to where God wants us to be. So again, look there. His word, again, is what devotes us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, there's a lot of us, when we walk, we look down. We look down when we walk. Why do we look down? We want to see where our feet are going. Well, may I suggest that if you continue to look down, you're going to run into something sooner or later. You ever seen that person on the commercials with their cell phone and they just steady texting and then all of a sudden they fall off into a hole? They weren't looking down at the ground. They were looking at their cell phone, or they run into a pole, or they get run out there, walk out there to the street, and they get hit by an automobile. See, we have to pay attention. And God's word is what we need to be paying attention to on this evening, knowing again that his word devotes us. In Numbers chapter 13, and the verse is 30. Numbers chapter 13, and the verse is 30. Listen to what the word says. When we think about the goodness of our God, and we think about his word devoting us, it says here, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." We're well able to overcome it. You know, when you get a report about something that's happening and the report is that you really can't conquer what is going on, you have to know who's with you. You know, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're against me, it's not going to do me any good to take you with me. Why? Because of friendly fire. There's a lot of people that have been killed by friendly fire. But Caleb, he quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." You know, Caleb was dedicated to God. He allowed the word of God to dedicate him and to know that he is with me. If you don't know that God is with you tonight, this evening, well, that may be that you need to look at your life. And that may mean that you are not hiding his word in your heart, that you may not sin against him. But so we need to re-examine it. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verse 9 through 11. This is the answer to what I mentioned earlier about asking that man about those sins. Who commit these sins? He said, everybody. Well, we took him from Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, to this verse right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. His word is what devotes us. How are we going to know to cease to do the things that we're doing that are wrong? By being taught the word of God and devote ourselves, dedicate ourselves to his word. There we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous. Who are the unrighteous? Let's look and find out. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So who's not going to be there? All of these people that commit these sins, that practice these sins. They're not going to be there in the kingdom of God. But what he says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. How many of you can see yourselves in one of those sins? How many can remember when you have done those things, but you ceased to do them when you heard the word of God, when you were willing to accept the word of God, when you was willing to change? No longer living that old life, but living a new life. Why? Because of what he says right here. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See, there's something that we need to realize here. We need to realize that there are many of us that are looking to be justified in our wrongdoing. There's no way. You cannot be justified in your wrongdoing. But there's that person that will tell you, it's okay, don't listen to them. You keep doing what you're doing. That t-shirt, that bumper sticker, that poster, only God can judge me. Oh, yes. He is going to judge you. So you need to cease to do what's wrong. You need to be washed if you have not been. You need to be sanctified. And when you're washed, that's what God does for you. He sanctifies you. He puts you apart for his work you've been justified. Keep doing the things that are right. Do not go back and live a life that is displeasing to him. Again, God's word devotes us. It devotes us. Or are you devoted on this evening? His word inspires us. We need some type of inspiration. We need something to spark us. We need something to set us on fire. We need something to edify us, to build us up. It's God's word. It's God's word. Why? Because God's word would never change again. God would not go back on his word. So this is the best thing to inspire us. You ever told a person, looked at them, oh, you inspire me. But then next day, you're at them like cats and dogs, like brothers, like sisters, like siblings. There's no use of fighting against God. You're fighting a losing battle. Continue to allow him to inspire you, to tell you when you're doing wrong, to tell you when you're doing right. Let his word inspire you. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, for that time is coming where Jesus will return. And when he returns, he's returning for his people. For those that have done right. For those that have hid his word in their hearts that they may not sin against him. So there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. Listen to that one more time, just part of it. In verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we always be with the Lord. The one that we love, if he comes back right now, will your love be enough? Will what you have done, will it allow you to get into heaven? Will Jesus say, you're one of mine, come on with me? Will that happen if he comes back right now? We need to ask ourselves that question because he's coming back. He's either coming back while you're living or he's coming back after you have died. Whichever, if you're not living the way you're supposed to live, you're not going to be caught up with him in the air. So his word inspires us. It inspires us to do what's right. It has given us that motivation to continue on down that straight and narrow path, to do the things that are right. It has encouraged us to look to the left, to the right, but stay moving forward. Don't worry about what's behind you. God has your back. You know, we have some friends that say, oh man, I got your back, until you get in trouble. Till you run up against somebody bigger than you, and then you when you've been beat down, you go to them and you say, what happened to you? Man, I had your back. I was way in back of you. That's not what you want. See, you want someone that's going to take care of you. And that is our God. And the Bible says there again in verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. There in 1 Corinthians 51, verse 58, we will be changed only if we continue to move forward. Only if we continue to move forward. Quit staggering. Quit going from side to side. Quit ducking and dodging. Keep moving forward. Press on toward the goal. There you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable,
and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, listen to what he says here. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Be inspired by his word. Do the things that's going to require or allow God to. This is my servant. This is my servant. Have you, listen what he said to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? He's a just and upright man, one that shuns evil. Let God say that about you. This is my servant right here. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to cause him to fall short of the glory. Yes, he has sinned, but yet he is standing fast now. He's moving forward now. He's doing what's right. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's gone. It's gone. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God's word inspires us. God's word inspires us. His word transforms us. It's his word. It's not by what man says. It's about his word. What God has said. That is what's going to transform us. You ever heard that person? Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. They think that they're the only ones that's right. God is right. God is right. It's his word that's going to change us. Not the words of man, but God's words. The words that we find in this scripture that were written by man, these are God's words. His word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So we need to listen to it. There we find in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or your reasonable spiritual worship or your reasonable service. He says in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or be ye renewed of your mind, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's by his word. These words in this book, Brother Brian always say, you know, look at the words. Understand what the words mean. Some of these songs have changed through the years. Some of them have remained the same. Some of them we have studied and we have looked in and say, those songs just don't fit. But let me tell you what does fit. God's word. It fits perfectly. In whatever situation you're in, his word fits perfectly. And he tells you again that you can discern what is the will of God. You can know the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect before him. You can know those things. So allow God's word to transform you. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and the verses 8. So what do we need to do? We need to change our way of thinking. We need to change our way of thinking. Not man's way, but God's way. So he says there in Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things.
Think on these things. Change your way of thinking by looking at the Word of God. It transforms us to be the person that we need to be, the things that we think on.
What are you going to do when you leave worship?
Hopefully you haven't really thought about it. And I know that there are some that have their made plans, and they hope that those plans follow through. But when we come to worship God, whatever we're thinking about, let's leave it outside. Come in, worship God, glorify Him, magnify His name, edify one another.
And hopefully when you leave, you're not rushing to do those things that you have planned to do, but you're still meditating on His Word. You still have His Word hidden in your heart that you may not sin against Him. And then you go on about your day, but making sure that you're still doing the things that are right before God. We need to understand that His Word needs to be hidden in our hearts.
If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, then consider doing so on this evening.
Allow God's Word to work on you as you work on yourself. Do what's right before Him. Tomorrow is not ours. Today is all we have. So let's do what's right, and let's accept His Word and allow His Word to be with us wherever we go.
If you're here and you are a child of God
and you have sinned, you have not always had His Word ready, available in your mind, but you have pushed it so far back that when it came time for you to make the right decisions, you didn't. Let's bring it to the forefront. Let's bring it to the forefront and let's do what's right. Let's confess our faults and He will forgive you. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.